Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. The band Algiers mixes post-punk guitars, gospel vocal harmonies, hip-hop sampling, and pointed social commentary in a way that somehow avoids becoming a musical Frankenstein and instead has become a signature, immediately recognizable sound. Their latest album is called Shook, and it is dark, urgent, angry, and perhaps, in the end, hopeful. Algiers are back in our studio. They're going to play a few songs from Shook, beginning with this one called Irreversible Damage.
murder within, light-hearted violence, casual retribution, unfettered assault. Listen for the sound.
That is Algiers, live here in our studio. The song's called Irreversible Damage. You'll find it on the latest record by Algiers called Shook. The band is usually a quartet, three of the four here with us in the studio. Matt Tong is behind our drum kit, Ryan Mahon playing the bass, a whole rack of electronics and gear like that, and some backing vocals. And in the absence of Lee Tesh, Franklin James Fisher playing the guitar in addition to electronics, lead vocals, our piano. And Frank, to you and the band, great to have you guys back.
Thank you very much for having us. It's good to be back.
I was wondering how you were going to do Irreversible Damage without Zach De La Rocha, who guests on. But it turns out you have Zach in a black box somewhere.
Yeah, we got a lot of people in a black box somewhere. It's become kind of part of the live show, which Lee Tesh, who's not here today, was very active in creating. We have an entire visual component that goes along with the live show now. And it's almost as though, the way I describe it is that Shook is a soundtrack for a film that doesn't really exist. It only exists whenever we play live. And we have everybody who's a guest on the record. For the most part, they filmed themselves. And then we have projections and different incarnations of the guests that play along with us. And we also have, if we're in the right city and we have guests that played along on the record, like when we were in Montreal, we had Backwash. She came and rocked with us. And there's a whole new space for a lot more elaboration.
Right.
The live shows.
Well, that's, you know, I mean, Algiers is and can be a self-contained unit, but this record has a very kind of communal feeling to it. And it's not just Atlanta. As you said, Backwash is in Montreal.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's people from New York or people associated with New York. So it's, you know, it seems like it's pretty, it's like a community of ideas, I suppose.
Yeah. Ryan, you want to speak to that? I mean, we've always been about community.
Yeah, for really. Sure. And I think we just wanted to express that. And Algiers itself, in some ways, has a notion of seeking as well, looking for a home, looking for a community, the same way that revolutionaries in Algeria were looking for something new and a new home. And this is actually the first time we've been able to manifest it in such a concrete way.
What about the title, Shook? I mean, I know that word appears. It's the last word on, is it the opening track? But it recurs later on the record as well. What is the significance of Shook?
I mean, it's really just descriptive for something that everybody, us included, has gone through for the past several years, you know? The condition of being shook by things that are overwhelming outside of your control.
Right.
Where you find yourself subsequently, you know?
Well, one of the interesting things about this record is, you know, people tend to think of vocals as you're either speaking or singing. There is a whole spectrum of vocal sound from spoken word to rap to chant to song. And you guys are all over that map on this record. Was that part of the intention of it?
I think so. I think with our previous album, There Is No Year, we had very specific ideas of what we wanted to do in the studio. And two of those specific ideas were getting a plurality of voices and also kind of capturing our live energy. And we weren't really able to do either of those things, primarily just because, you know, we worked with two friends who were producing us and we were on a very tight time schedule and so forth. But we kind of took that impetus and we had a chance to do it with this record. And so, yeah, I think we're relatively pleased with the results.
Relatively pleased. High praise indeed from Algiers. There's a song on the record called 73%, which begins, Frank, it's kind of spoken word. It's not quite rap.
No, you know? It's not rap. No.
Yeah.
Let's walk outside the city. What you gone to? Shh. They're coming soon.
Until it bursts into actual song later on in the track. So, you know, within that one song, there you get this kind of contrasting vocal approach.
Yeah.
There's also a line where you say or sing, I guess it's say, no more country, bluegrass, No More Blues.
Yeah.
Is that a reference to a certain famous music club?
Totally, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's CBGB's is gone. There's a John Varvatos there now, you know.
Right.
That song's just about coming back to New York after quarantine and the energy that is New York. And
For folks who don't know, CBGB stood for Country, Bluegrass, and Blues.
Exactly.
For all that, it became a haven for the first flowering of punk. The song you're going to do next, Bite Back, speaking of, you know, roots music, seems to be, on the record at least, built around a banjo sample. Is that? What is that?
you got to ask Ryan that. He wrote that song.
That's which sample exactly? I'm trying to find the banjo in that. But you know, people it's a hip-hop song at the basis, and you can sample anything in hip-hop, including the banjo. I wish I had the ingenuity to make it sound good, to be honest with you, but...
Well,
but it starts with it's a synthesizer, and it just ebbs and flows, and it's manipulated along the way.
But it's also, and again, not for the first or only time on the record, it's almost like a suite of songs. You know, it's in clearly different parts, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's essentially two pieces of music put together in a way that kind of evokes everything that the song itself evokes lyrically. And I think that's really a testament to how Franklin, Billy Woods, and Backwash approached it, to kind of bring out this 360-degree situation of life, of the world, and of hip-hop, really.
Right. So are Billy Woods and Backwash somewhere in the electronical ether here?
They are here with us.
Yeah. Okay. They're in the black box.
So there's actual real rapping in this song in addition to real singing.
Yes.
Let's hear a live performance. The song is Bite Back, and it is from the band Algiers.
Miles away from the days they used to lie in wait, snake around in the high grass. But you know what I found? They say they moved on, but they're still around. They move even stronger now, and all in plain sight. The stone mountains, false idols, time hard still standing, planted in your point of view. Wrap around the words you use. When you want, the sounds are running out. They tell you slow down.
One hand washed the other, they both washed the face. Centrifugal force and inertia keep everything in its place. Slowly spinning in space, speeding, left foot on the brakes. Metal face, cheating's just how you play. Strange ways, Monopoly, Candyland, life's just a game. Count your money at the end, bro. On one hand, count your friends. Ghosts float about the more cold. Come get your mans. Babylon system is the vampire once you let him in. Police at the door knocking again and again. Claws rattling, delicate as roaches' wings. Sweet saccharine dopamine pour out the screens. Distant gunfire crackling. The whole thing cracking at the seams. Single action, cats get pressed and stained. The machine is self-claimed. The nightmare ends you in somebody's dream.
Something about down, looking at about life through past ain't never been the right time. When the truth come down, let the light that the shine up in your face, you better clock it with your third eye. Most wanna get into the game just to bounce their head and move their feet in. It's all good till that blue light flash and it's not your ass and it's not that beating. That's the white coat lies they hold and then they told they folk they rise and fight back. They got the rats and snakes, stepping the whole line, Janet to control the stage on hijack.
Turn it back on.
Bite back the hand that feeds you if it's poison. The song is Bite Back from the band Algiers, a song from their latest record called Shook, in a live performance. And actually, Ryan, the thing that I thought might have been a banjo sample is actually live like this, hearing you in the same room. It's more like a Stranger Things kind of. It's that yeah. opening kind of electronic sound, which, you know, in my little office speakers came across as...
Got you. So you just get in the top end and not all the low end bass.
Exactly.
Right? I feel you. Yeah, I think somebody mentioned when we first dropped the track that don't let the Stranger Thing vibe fool you, because it actually, you can trace it back deeper to, like, you know, old school stuff, you know, people doing like, you know, Tangerine Dream and stuff like
exactly.
that, if you want to trace it back.
Yeah, Giorgio Moroder, Tangerine Dream.
I love all the Italo, all the horror stuff.
So. Yeah, yeah. Frank, speaking of horror, I mean, you know, a lot of the subject matter of these songs, Backwash's verse on that song, Bite Back, you know, referring to police violence and things like that. So there's a really important moment on the record, just a little piece called Comment Number Two.
Yeah. For whatever reason, if you want to, like, engage with communities of color, it is so centralized on suffering, pain, oppression. But, like, we're not fucking suffering.
Which talks about, for people who are oppressed, that we have lives, we have joy, we, you know, and if all you know about us is the suffering, then that's what's really making us other. It just seemed like such an important point to make in an album like this.
Yeah, that's my friend Ann Doe. She was the executive director for Planned Parenthood out in Oregon for a long time, and now she works for the governor, I believe. But she's one of my best friends. And for me personally, I think one thing I've been trying to do, and this is somewhat related to the last record, is try to find a space where I could just as an individual within this band, express myself just as an artist without having to always be qualified as a black artist.
Or, right.
Because oftentimes it's almost as though people aren't really interested in what I have to say unless it's something that's serviceable for their politics or something like this. And which isn't to say that politics aren't important, politics are everything. But, you know, it's also just a little reminder. I thought it was very apropos, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it leads directly into a song whose title is Good Man. And the first time I listened to the record, I thought, okay, here's our respite. But the chorus is, am I a good man? No, no, no. So that little moment of that little ray of sunshine is... The clouds obscure it pretty quickly once the music gets going again. The opening sounds of the, you know, even before we hear Everybody Shatter, we hear kind of outside sounds. What is that?
There's a couple of things happening at the beginning. There's just some room recordings of us just hanging out in the sound room.
Just like straight clowning, actually. Yeah. The record starts off with laughter.
We're just making fun of each other and stuff. And
okay.
I think the, just also at the beginning of Good Man, you hear me laughing in the background.
Right, right.
I think people think we're a lot more serious than we generally are at all. You know? but more importantly, there's the Hartsfield-Jackson Airport terminal train.
Yes.
Which, you know, it's... That beginning of the song, that beginning of the album is a nod to Illmatic, which is a nod to the subway theme.
Are you sitting at home doing this shit?
There's a lot of allusions and references and, you know.
Right, so whereas Nas used that sound to fix the place as New York, you're
right.
Using that train sound to fix your location
exactly.
As Atlanta.
Yeah. Which is how hip-hop works. It's very referential and postmodern in that way.
Right. And that track features Big Rube, who for decades, really, has been, you know, kind of a... maybe an unsung hero outside Atlanta, I would say. People know him from Outkast.
Know him from the Dungeon Family and from Outkast Records. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the spiritual guide of Atlanta, of that part of Atlanta, for sure, I'd say.
Right. So what about the idea? I mean, Ryan mentioned before that, you know, Bite Back is almost like two songs sandwiched together. Mm-hmm. There are other tracks like that. There are also tracks that are a minute long, minute and a half. You know, it's not how I've experienced Algiers Records in the past. There's something different about the form, the structure of this album.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're not a backward-looking band. We're always interested in what we can do next that will challenge ourselves and be more interesting than the last thing we did. So we're not going to deliberately repeat ourselves if it's wholly up to us. And, you know, I think one thing that's interesting about your comment is that, you know, this record didn't start out as we didn't sit down like, we're going to write a record. That's not how this came together. It was just quarantine happened and we found ourselves with a significantly enhanced quality of life from what we were used to at the time, touring all the time, being broke all the time, et cetera. And we just collectively and individually started writing music because we could, because that's what we like to do. And 6 months later, kind of looked back and took stock on what we had and like, oh, let's see if we can make a record out of this, you know?
So you did literally have lots of ideas and this.
Yeah, we worked up a number of other songs as well, and so we definitely honed it as we went along, and we were definitely trying to make something that was a composite of everything that we had experienced. And I think at first Frankie and Lee were like, oh, we're just gonna make a long record. I was like, oh hell no, nobody does that, nobody makes long records. But then I was like, oh, there's like Pink Sifu from Alabama just like makes these huge rap records, and I'm like, all right, let's do this. And I think it worked out, and I think it tells such a interesting story about time and place, and I think the length of it in and of itself is very important to the entire feel of the record. And yeah. But who knows what we do next. I think it would definitely veer in a different direction for sure.
Yeah. The alternating of very short and much longer pieces, you know, it's sort of analogous to hip-hop records with their skits mm-hmm. in between songs. So, you know, it's not like without precedent.
No, that surely informed it.
Yeah. Now, Franklin, the last time you were here, mm-hmm. Before we actually started rolling tape. You were seated at our piano, and I remember this because I took a little video of it. It's somewhere on my phone. Okay. You were at our piano, and you were just playing something, and I think it might have been Thelonious Monk. So, but it was definitely jazz.
Yeah, I'm still fumbling my way through it, but yeah, that sounds about right. It's probably McCoy Tyner.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So this next song, Green Iris, has that kind of jazzy piano sound to it. So that is something that you've been working at for a while.
Yeah, I mean, even back to Underside, I think, with Time to Go Down Slowly, there's a bit of that modal planing, you know. And you play in chordal harmony and fourths.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows you to come inside or outside of the tonal center of the song, and it creates this dissonant effect, which, you know, the McCoy Tyner and John Coltrane specifically were masters at doing.
Right.
But it creates a little disquiet.
Yeah. You know? Well, let's hear how this translates in a live performance here in our studio. The song is Green Iris. And for this one, Frank is actually seated at our piano. Let's hear a live performance from the members of Algiers. Thank you. Green Iris, live performance by members of the band Algiers here in our studio. And Ryan, how do you guys generally, I mean, that call and response, that gospel style call and response vocal effect that we get in the second half of this song, how do you guys go about producing that? Is it all, here in the studio, you and Franklin are singing, but on the record, do you actually go and get like a gospel choir to do that sort of thing with you?
That's interesting. I actually had this question posed to me recently, and it's typically all Franklin since the start of the band. Even the first record, there's tons of voices. There's tons of gospel things. Yep. We recreated our own gospel samples from the beginning. So usually it happens where Franklin will build harmonies and melodies on top of each other, and then we'll sample them typically and bring them into the songs themselves. So there's very rare there's an occasion where there's someone else singing the creating the sort of background experience other than Frank. And then we'll bring our voices in when it's appropriate and see where it is. You know, there's a song called In Parallax where I'm doing the vocal sample, but most of the time it's Frank and or our homies in MAB, Morning of Black Star, they're on Dispossession and songs like that, so, and on Bite Back. So
right. And Frank, the album is called Shook, and it's been out a little while. Mm-hmm. There's also Shook World, mm-hmm. which is a set of remixes. So we were talking before about the communal aspect of this record. What was that like to actually see it go out in the community and then come back through the lens of all these other people?
Oh, that was the whole point of, at the inset. But we didn't really know it was going to do, you know, we didn't know a gang was going to do what he did. If you want to talk about, that's our buddy King Vision Ultra.
Shout out to Gang, PTP, King Vision Ultra. We definitely wanted somebody to take the Atlanta flip and turn it into their own environment because it's such an environmental record, and New York seemed to be the most likely place. And it started as a remix record idea, but then it just became a record. So Shook World is a record in and of itself, to the point where whatever music that was used by King Vision Ultra within the songs, which was most of our tracks, are embedded in the spirit world of that, but you don't really know that. Like it's more metaphysical than physical, and it has so many amazing sort of established MCs like Big Just from Company Flow, and then it goes back to new MCs like Des Day, like Nakama.
Takes two to tango, but I don't think you trained enough to peel this mango. Your teeth don't hang low, I find a way to get fed with my mouth closed. Still hype to hang though. I'm oriented around details, picking up when we riding off the rails, train cars sliding dirty.
You know, it just goes on and on, and we're just privileged to be a part of that world.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think even the original version of Shook will be an introduction to a lot of people, to some of the, I mean, Samuel T. Herring, a known quantity as the lead singer of Future Islands, but, you know, Nada El Shazly, you know, from Cairo, Egypt, you know, her verse, which she contributes in Arabic, is probably going to be the first time that people who aren't kind of tuned in to that Cairo new music scene will have heard of her. How did that connection happen, right?
I think we really just wanted to bring whatever voice would serve the track. And so oftentimes we were almost, you know, doing kind of a mix in and of itself by figuring out whose aesthetic and whose actual texture would fit within the song. And I think within Cold World, it just made so much sense to connect with Nada. I mean, we love her music. And just that whole label, that whole scene is just super dope. And we wanted somebody that would spit like an MC but wouldn't be an MC. And she was like right at the top of the list. And she brought so much to it. And there's also like a dialogue that's happening on that song as well between Frank and Nada, even though they weren't in the same space. They never really fully interacted. And I just think the way that the guests on this record, from Backwash to Woods to DeForest to Patrick Shiroshi on the horn, to Nada El Shazly, the way that they connect with the music itself, with Jay Matthews, people just are embedded in that world without knowing the full world in and of itself. So I think it's just a beautiful experience for us and hopefully for people who are listening.
Well, you know, the experience ends with a track called Momentary, and yet another guest, Lee Baines, Lee Baines III.
Lee? Yeah.
Southern rocker. Frank, I mentioned in introducing you, you know, that it's an album that's often very dark and there's some rage and urgency and all that kind of stuff. But is this a hopeful end? Because Lee's last line is, we die, when we die, we rise. And that's where you leave us.
Yeah. So I almost committed suicide in December of 2021. I was in a long-term relationship that ended really, really badly. That's what Green Iris is about. It's about her. It's about, that song, I Can't Stand It. And the whole last record, for the most part, lyrically, is about my relationship with this woman. But as I was going through that, I was talking, you know, with my cousin, Gary, who's on As It Resounds. I spoke with Lee Baines a couple of times, my friend Ando, and they kind of talked me through what I was going through. And that's kind of how we led to, particularly the two phone conversations, how those wound up on the record. But with Lee, it was just kind of, you know, can you write something that's uplifting, inspiring? But it's not just anger and rage. There's a lot of sadness. There's a lot of heartbreak. And there's a lot of existential crisis in this as well. And not just my own, like things that all of us have experienced on that level for the past several years now.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's important that people note that.
Right. So everyone's been through a lot in the last few years, but sounds, Frank, like you've been through something far worse. Was this process of making this record, was this helpful for you?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. And even more so playing it, I think, has been a therapeutic process for all of us, the making and of this record and the playing of it, you know, touring it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to conclude the way the album does with a little bit of the final track, Momentary. But Matt and Ryan Franklin, the three of you, thank you so much for sharing this music with us today and the stories behind it. It's really great to see you guys again.
Likewise.
Nothing else.
Thanks for having us back. And
before I thank the usual cast and crew here, if you or someone you love needs help, there are people you can call. You can reach the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline by calling 988. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our producer is Karen Havlick. Our video editor is Eric Weber. I'm John Schaefer. You can keep up with New Sounds by subscribing to our free newsletter. Just text New Sounds to 70101. Take your pleasure or pain, whatever you love.